This morning comes from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, and I'll be reading a few verses from chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Will you join with me in prayer? Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. Paul writes, "The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's been almost 2 months since Greg and I returned from our summer sabbatical. We're still digesting all the wonderful experiences we had, although truthfully, some days it feels like we were never gone. You know how that goes. One of the biggest challenges of the past summer, aside from my biggest challenge, which was learning how to live out of one suitcase for 3 straight months, it was adjusting to the different customs of other countries. Not speaking the languages certainly made our lives interesting. The ever-fluctuating currency exchange rate between American dollars and euros kept us on our toes. And I never did quite get used to the steering wheel being on the passenger side of the car. So it was a good thing we didn't do that much driving. But the custom, the difference that gave me the most trouble during all our travels in Europe was that in Europe, you're not supposed to leave tips. You're not supposed to tip that poor hotel employee who carries your zillion pounds of luggage 2 flights up the stairs where there's no elevator. You're not supposed to tip the waiter at the restaurant who serves you a magnificent meal. You're not supposed to tip the woman who cleaned the apartment you're about to rent for 2 weeks. You're not supposed to tip the cab driver in Rome who took 10 years off your life. In fact, we were told several times that in Europe, if you leave a tip, it can be seen as an insult. And I just simply couldn't wrap my mind around that concept. I'm so ingrained with the thought that if someone serves you something, if you receive a service, you're supposed to leave a tip. So I'm sure Greg and I, all over Europe, insulted people left and right because we insisted on leaving tips even when we weren't supposed to. But our American culture were taught to tip. There was a big to-do in the news this week when teen star Miley Cyrus, or Hannah Montana, failed to leave a tip at an Outback restaurant. She got chastised by the media for her insensitivity. I mean, that's the way we view the necessity of leaving a tip. And then as the holidays come up, this whole idea of tipping becomes even more stressful. How much should we tip the mail carrier? How about the newspaper delivery person, the Peapod driver, our hairdresser? What if a clerk helps you load all your groceries into the car? Where do we begin, and where does it all end? The subject of tips came up this past Monday at the Embers monthly luncheon outing. At the end of the meal, when the waitress handed us our individual receipts, printed right there on the receipt were 3 different options for what we could leave as a tip, calculated 10%, 15%, 20%, right down to the penny. And talk about handy. And talk about a not so subtle reminder that we were supposed to leave a tip. But being math challenged as I am, I thought it was kind of helpful having the tip figured out for me like that. But I'm one of those persons that carries a little card in my wallet with all the percentages spelled out in columns, so I know just exactly what to leave without insulting people for those times when it's not printed right there on the receipt. Now, after my sermon at the early service, a member came to me and said, "Did you know that the word tip has a meaning? It comes from to ensure promptness." And I didn't know that, so you guys are privy to this new knowledge I learned at the coffee hour. To ensure promptness, tips. It's something that started in the hotel business to get people to be prompt with their service. And I understand that as that's spread out through, one reason that people tip is because there are a lot of professions that just don't pay an adequate wage, waitressing, for instance. And so you're supposed to make up for your pitiful salary by having people leave you tips. It's supposed to promote better service. And the idea is that if you're underpaid and you're trying to work for that little extra money, and the option is to earn a tip, you might do a better job. But I find that a little bit insulting to the worker when you think about it. Says, what's the problem with doing a good job just for the sake of doing a good job? And why do we assume that a person isn't going to do a good job unless they get a good tip for doing so? But like it or not, we live in a culture where the concept of tipping is promoted. So I got to thinking, well, why not join the crowd? Why not implement this idea into the church as we kick off our stewardship drive for the year? I mean, tipping does have its merits. And to make it easier for all of you as we start this new tradition, this is the tip jar for the sermon. I'm just going to leave it right here, and you can leave your coins and your bills in the jar after the service, although I suppose if it means to ensure promptness, you really should tip me before the sermon. I might get done sooner. But then I thought, well, that's kind of greedy looking, so depending on which of us is preaching the sermon, I brought this jar too. So. Rick, are you with me on this? What do you think? Okay. So for your convenience, we will be placing tip jars all around the church. If the bathroom is clean and there's that hand sanitizer there for you during the flu season, leave a tip. Your Sunday school teacher does an especially fine job of teaching, you can leave a tip. How about the musicians and the choir and the greeters and ushers, the person that hands you your bulletin, if they do it with a smile, you can leave them a tip. Don't they deserve a tip for their good work? Don't forget the office staff, the custodian, the youth group leaders, deacons, elders, not to mention all the many volunteers who, without whose efforts the church wouldn't even begin to function. But just for your knowledge, those cute little glass jars on the counter out there by the donut holes and the coffee and tea, those are not tip jars. They are for collecting the bit extra money to help us cover the cost of donut holes, which get kind of expensive, especially when some of us treat those donut holes like breakfast. Okay, so it's kind of a lame idea, this putting tip jars all over the church. And maybe we shouldn't try to run the church like the rest of society. It wouldn't be prudent. It would make us seem like the money changers in the temple, and we all know how Jesus reacted to those folks. Well, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. Churches have used that verse for ages to promote their stewardship drives, and obviously we are not above that tactic. But as you figure out what you can pledge to the church for the coming year, the one thing I ask is that you be a cheerful giver. Think of it this way. It's not so much about the giving as it is about our attitude. Now, frankly, Greg and I don't want you feeling angry when you give to the church. We don't want you feeling hesitant or resentful or even fearful. We don't want you thinking about your pledge as some odious obligation to get out of the way. We want you to feel grateful when you give. We want you to feel blessed. We want you to feel cheerful. And what's not to be cheerful about? This is a wonderful, healthy, thriving church. The economy might be falling down around us, although we continue to hope and pray that will change. And every night we hear more bad news in the world. You might know from one day to the next if you're still going to have a job or a home or a marriage by the end of the day. But this much you know, that the church will be here for you. Every week you can come and be welcome no matter what your situation, no matter what kind of week you've had. You'll find a hot cup of coffee or tea or juice and, yes, donut holes. You'll find Sunday school classes taught by loving, enthusiastic volunteers. You'll hear music that lifts your soul. You will be upheld in prayer and have the opportunity to pray for other people. You will hear the word of God spoken and preached, but more than that, you'll find it lived out here. You have pastors and staff who really, truly care about you. The one thing we can't promise is a parking space, but we'll try our best on that too. You never have to worry during the course of your week whether the church will be here when you need it or not. Because the church, well, it's here to stay. And what's that worth? It's worth more than any one of us individuals can give. We can only do it together. Teamwork. It's not just about a church as a building or a place. It's about what the church represents. It's the love of God, steadfast and sure, unbreakable, everlasting, eternal. It is the love of God who sees beyond our shortcomings and our failings, and who loves us so much. He gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ, to declare that love forever. In a world where so much is precarious and uncertain and downright awful, isn't that wonderful news to hear, no matter how many times you hear it? There's another Bible verse in Exodus where God says to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to take for me an offering from all whose hearts prompt them to give. You shall receive the offering for me." Isn't that a wonderful verse? From all whose hearts prompt them to give, you shall receive the offering for me. God is saying to Moses that the offering he wishes is the offering that comes from the heart. Not the one that comes from obligation or reluctance, although we'll take those too. But from all whose hearts prompt them to give, you shall receive an offering for God. God loves the cheerful giver, because when it comes to making your offering to God, that's how God wants you to feel. So Rick, I guess we should just put our jars away. We don't need them here at the church. Give because your heart prompts you to do so. Give and be a cheerful giver. That's the best tip I can give. Would you pray with me? Lord, you fill our heart and spirit week after week with the joy of your love. And when we're having a tough time, we know that you'll be here or wherever we are. We thank you for this church family, and we pray that we will continue to give to one another of our hearts and our gifts and all that we have, and do so cheerfully and gratefully. May we be those whose hearts are prompted to give to you. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and let all God's people say, Amen.